Hey, my friends, welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest
world news,
health research.
It's August the 11th. We're live.
Well, now you dated the show.
I did. But it's August 11th, and we're live.
We're live today.
And thank you so much for all of your concerns. We took a few days off, and I know we're not supposed to do that. I got it, okay? But sometimes, you know, we need a break. And so we are live. It's August 11th. It's my sister's birthday today, actually.
Congratulations.
I already told her happy birthday. So that's why I wanted to date the show.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And the craziest part about it is that, you know, we're prepped for the show today. So, Austin,
what's your first story? YouTube's up. I pulled YouTube up. It'll be live in a few minutes. So we'll jump into there.
Get that angry look again.
So you guys make sure you check out the product of the week, the COQ10 Ubiquinol formula. A lot of really good information on that on the website that you can hack into for free here at the site under the articles tab. One of the new articles that Harrison wrote for me, your Health Masters CoQ10 Ubiquinol, new research on mitochondrial efficiency. Be sure to read on that. I'll cover some of that later on here in a little bit. And we're going to cover a few things today. We're going to cover some stuff that's going on as far as my opinion, obfuscation, theater, and distractions. I'm also going to cover some stuff that's going on as far as with skin, also mental deficiencies that can lead to fatigue and brain fog. This really wild executive order that Trump just signed, which is, I'm going to cover some of that as well, and a few other things on here, including some of the stuff that happened with the FIFA. I never watched it. How do you say it properly? FIFA?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. Anyways, all this stuff's coming out with corruption.
It doesn't matter what we say. My grammar police will correct us regardless. And by the way, thank you, grammar police. You keep us on our toes.
Well, the first thing I'm going to get into, and this is right out the gate, the serotonin-melatonin connection to scoliosis.
Whoa. I've never heard this before.
Neither have I. I was reading about it.
You got to send me this stuff like a day before so I can read
it. Well, it gets released, man. And I tried to bring you guys the latest world news and health research when it comes out.
This one scoops me. I know melatonin is important, and I know serotonin is important, but I had no idea it was linked to this. Yeah. What does it say?
Well, it's more of a specific study they kind of looked at. And it goes to here, talks about how the serotonin, melatonin influence the spine can come down to how many jobs they perform through the body. Serotonin is a neurotransmitter derived from amino acid tryptophan. It's one of the reasons why the 5-HTP is such a great product, especially for maintaining healthy mood. And then it goes into detail here. It says the body consists of complex networks of nerves that relay messages between the brain and various parts of the body. Serotonin helps regulate the nerve signals and travel from the brain and spinal cord to the muscles of the trunk. It's also a metabolic precursor to melatonin. Melatonin, in turn, helps regulate the cells responsible for building and breaking down bones. Much of the foundational research connecting melatonin deficiency to spinal curvature comes from animal studies. They said since melatonin is produced in the pineal gland, this used since the 1990s to study idiopathic scoliosis. To the extent of which those findings translate directly to human treatment remains an active area of research. So, as I get into it here, it says, think of the serotonin-melatonin pathway as the body's internal communication system for growth and balance. The human spine is an elegant, efficient structure. When properly aligned, allows you to maintain upright posture with almost no energy expenditure. When the serotonin-melatonin pathway is disrupted, it compromises the neurological signaling that maintains the alignment. The spine's not failing. It's responding to a chemistry problem that medicine has never historically looked at. This is wild. This is some pretty crazy stuff. When you start really, it's crazy to me how insanely wild. Like, and that's just one of the best ways to describe it. The human body is.
It's so complex.
All these pathways and all these different connections.
Well, you know, it's funny. You think, you know, when you first go in high school and you go into junior high school, they tell you that we are from, you know, it's all about evolution. Okay, but they don't talk about the law of entropy.
The amoeba dance.
Yeah, and they don't. And the deeper I got into school, and the more we started studying specific pathways, specific organs, then we got to the kidneys. You have no idea how complex the kidneys are.
Yeah.
No, it's almost. And then you had to memorize all these pathways and memorize all these words. And I'm like, it's like learning a foreign language. It's insanely difficult. And I thought myself, even in college, because you know I wasn't really walking with God back then. I thought myself, there's no way this just happened by accident.
No.
There's no way this turned out like this. I mean, God, Jesus created you. You were basically built in a laboratory. You think, well, it's a laboratory called heaven. It's what they did. They built you and they developed you. and they showed you were in God's image, and you're thinking that this has happened. But I started learning the complexities of just one thing, or just a knee joint, or synovial fluid, or anything. It's so complex. And the law of entropy says that the body and nature will follow the least path of resistance. If I take this purple, these purple six containers here, and I dump it out on the table, which I could do, it's going to fall on the table and make a big mess. It's not going to go up in the air. It's not going to float around. You know,
and it's never going to hop back up on the table and purple stick its way back into the can.
No,
it's going to sit there for a while, then it's going to start breaking down, and bugs are going to start getting at it, and eventually it's just going to turn into a giant mess there that never goes away.
Well, no, and the same thing. If I take a doggone Seiko watch and I break it apart in little pieces with a hammer and I shake it up in a bag and I throw it up in the air and say, okay, evolve. It doesn't do that. It's a broken watch. It ain't going to fix itself. You think, well, what is that? So the problem is when they train you to believe this stuff is okay, you start believing it's okay. And when you start believing it's okay, you start accepting anything. Perfect example. Segue.
It says here, the clinical practice, patients with progressing curves consistently show measurable imbalances of the serotonin and melatonin pathways, and correcting those balances is central in how they rehabilitate for long-term health. Now, a lot of this goes into...
Scroll it up. I want to read this next paragraph.
Yeah, this is with minor adjustments with the spine. But yeah, read this.
Some clinicians say that understanding how the serotonin and melatonin pathway contributes to scoliosis is changing how they approach treatment, since restoring healthy melatonin levels may slow the condition's progression, particularly when the curve is still relatively mild, generally less than 35 degrees, which is still pretty intense. Most scoliosis patients were never tested for neurotransmitters or hormonal imbalances, which means the underlying driver of their curve is never identified or addressed. So when you go to a chiropractor, what you do, they try to adjust it for you, but they don't correct the cause of it. And it says, proponents of this approach often suggest relevant testing. And it says, basically, if serotonin deficiency is identified, clinicians may recommend target amino acid precursors, which you just said, 5-HTP,
yep.
Okay, L-tryptophan, which improved the building blocks needed to produce serotonin and in turn support natural melatonin production. Also, the body's cells produce melatonin. Now, I use melatonin every night. Quite frankly, if I don't use melatonin, I don't sleep real well because my pineal gland is not as young as it used to be, and it doesn't produce as much melatonin as it should. And so I'm going to support my pineal gland and my spine, apparently, by taking melatonin.
Well, and it's important you understand this, because it's not like, oh, I'm trying to take a bunch of melatonin because I can't produce any. It's also important to understand that when your body doesn't produce enough, if that's happening, you have all these other things that start to change in the body. So it's better to supplement with melatonin than just say, well, I'm not making any. I'm just going to deal with it. Just, I guess, not sleep. Not do. I want to take some like Ambien. I talked to a customer the other day, and they were asking about that. They're like, yeah, I've been having a hard time sleeping now. They came off Ambien. I said, well, I'm not recommending any medical advice to you. Talk to your doctor about that. But a lot of these sleeping drugs can be really, really addictive when you try to come off of them.
And it takes a minute to readjust your body.
Yeah, because, again, when you start taking Ambien, it starts throwing off the entire pathways of how you sleep and melatonin production. So don't forget that when you start taking a lot of these pharmaceutical drugs, in most cases, they can have completely different tracks on what your body starts functioning. And so if you start having weird side effects, you need to look and see what's going on. Because in most cases, there's one big thing on Ambien is sleepwalking. You just randomly just ghost places and do stuff.
Well, you also drive cars on it.
Drive cars on it.
You don't even remember.
You wake up, you're like, what did I do? You went to the store and bought stuff in the middle of the night. I mean, I have no recollection of it.
You did that a little when you were young. You just kind of wander around.
I didn't take Ambien.
No, but it was be oh, yeah, like probably, 6 years
I
old. Like 6 years old.
Way too much melatonin.
No. It's funny. Also, we see Wasson walking. I would just turn you around and you walk back and get in your bed. And I thought, I told Sharon, I said, this is odd. And Harrison, your younger brother, he liked to pass out. That was crazy. He'd be walking around all of a sudden. He'd just get startled and just hold his breath and book.
He was a younger one.
He was like 2 years old.
Yeah.
But he grew out of that.
Stetson did that the other day.
Stetson did it
the other
day.
Yeah, he got so mad. He got so angry. He started yelling. He held his breath.
This is a two-year-old.
Yeah. He was chilling on his bed, and he kind of like fell over on his bed, wakes back up. I'm like, why are you getting so mad? Like, don't get this angry.
Oh, you got
son.
You one with that. You got oh, you one man. With that one. Oh, by the way, I was talking a second ago. I'm going to cover some real negative stuff real quick. I don't like doing that.
So oh, thanks. My first day back.
No, this is important. And I don't know what to say about this because you guys know what a harpy is. You know what a harpy is?
It's a screaming lunatic female, isn't it?
No, it's a screaming demonic lunatic female that has claws and talons and fangs. And
let's look one up.
Oh, you're going to look up a harpy?
I don't know. I'm not going to put the screen up so I see what it is.
Put down harpy nightmare photo. And so you start to realize that, you know, and I don't mean this wrong, I don't mean this right, I just mean this from an observational standpoint. You know, we turn into a gynocentric society, And what does that mean? It means that everybody caters to everything that females want to do because the men have become so wussified that they don't want to say no. And then these harpy females, these screaming, talon, demonic creatures, did you find one?
Bro, what are you yeah. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Put it up on the screen. No, just that, to the that's right. That's the one. Right, yes. Far to the right. That's the, you know, that's a harpy. The far with click on that will make that the whole
I'm
screen.
I'm not clicking on anything. I'm Xing out of this. This is going to go sideways on the show.
Yeah, but this is but this is a harpy. Well, here's why I'm bringing up the harpies. You know, and I don't mean it bad because some men are pretty bad too. They are, and I try to say that to buffer this because this is a couple dudes on a show here. But some women get to the point where they become so angry and so bitter and so entitled and so gynocentric and so thinking that they're gods. You know, you go on a dating app and they say, you have to treat me like I'm a princess, like I'm a god, like I'm, you know, and I'm like, no, you got to treat you like you're a harpy. Throw up a doggone cross and throw garlic at you and get some doggone holy water and splash it on you and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Whoa, that's pretty strong. This should be a Monday show, but it's a Tuesday show.
It's Tuesday, man. Easy.
Democratic Governor Marie Healy has now signed a sweeping Massachusetts bill allowing full abortion up to birth.
Woo.
That just happened.
That's rough.
No, that's why I covered it. And she is surrounded by an entire group of harpies. There are no men in this room. And they're almost all of them are unbelievably ugly. And you think, what does that have to do with the fact that they're ugly? I'm just saying that the vast majority of women that are pro-abortion are ugly. You think, that's not true. I didn't say everybody was. I just said the vast majority was. And they're mean. And they're bitter. And they're angry. And they hate men. And a lot of them are lesbians. And so a lot of them are never planning on ever getting pregnant anyhow, but they have to have the right to kill a child at 9 months. Now, let me explain something to you. The child is viable at 9 months.
Child's viable about 5-6 months.
Oh, no, the child's wide awake at 9 months.
Yeah.
Okay? Child comes out crying. Now, if you ever heard the term partial birth abortion, look it up. I'm not going to cover what they do and how they kill this child during childbirth. They have to kill the child before it exits the vaginal canal. And it's unbelievably barbaric what they do. And so she has signed this now in this law. And I'm like, you know, this is unreal. I got to cover
full term.
Full term. I mean, 9 months. The baby's
full
about,
term. The baby's getting born.
The baby's being born. And they're going to go ahead and kill it. And they have to kill it before it comes out of the vaginal canal. In other words, they have it half out. That's why it's called partial birth abortion. It's hanging out of the mom's body and they destroy it. And it's unbelievable what they do. And now she has signed that for full term abortions. And you say, wait a minute. This is unreal. This can't be true. And that's exactly what's happening. And now Fauci has also now been accused of not telling women about placental detachment during the injections they gave out 6 years ago. We got to be careful because we're back on YouTube again. And Meghan McCain is the lead of women's sharing devastating COVID miscarriage stories as Fauci is accused of playing down vaccine risks to pregnant women. I read and told you and reported to you on dozens of women who had miscarried during the phase of this. And the sad part about all of this is when you stop and you look at it, you go, well, wow, why did they tell us? Austin, I told you. We told you. It attacks the ovaries. It attacks the placenta. It causes placental detachment. It attacks the testicles. It attacks the sperm production. It's all about eugenics. And you have to understand something. The fallen angels have this type of technology to do this. Charles Lieber didn't come up with the nanolipid technology by himself. This is all fallen angel technology. You can say it's derived from what happened in 1947 with Roswell. And all of this stuff is real that they're doing to us right now. And Meghan McCain is now leading the women sharing the devastating COVID miscarriage story. So I'm here to warn you again. Women, be really, really careful if you're pregnant, because a lot of you ladies, and I don't know why you're doing this, probably because you don't listen to this show, are still taking these basically injections. And they've warned you and warned you. We've warned you. We've warned you. And we're telling you now, you don't need to do it. To change the topic now, we're off this. This is too negative. Iran has decided they're no longer going to negotiate at all with Donald Trump. And they are saying that they're going to wait till he gets out of office in another year and a half, 2 years. And that's about right. I mean, why do they want to negotiate with somebody who constantly jumps back and forth, back and forth, back and forth? I mean, he was leaving Turkey the other day. Also, he jumps in a food truck.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was so afraid that Air Force One was going to be shot down. Now, I will say this. I can't say he was stupid for doing this. I think he was really smart for doing this. Because if Secret Service says there's a possibility they're going to shoot you down, you probably need to get in a food truck and take you out in a different way. He needs to listen to, you know, Secret Service. They're saying that Trump was, you know, he was wussified because he did this. No. He was being smart. I got to give him credit for that. When you have security personnel working for you that are highly trained, you need to learn to listen to them. Because you know that with your operators, exactly. Because these guys have been there, done that, and they've seen it. And airplanes are too easy to disable in mid-flight. You think, no, they're not. Gosh. You know, look at Lockerbie. Look at Lockerbie, Scotland. That was 30 years ago. I mean, you've got to look at the fact that they can put a bomb on the plane that's basically designed to detonate at certain altitudes. They can hide it, and all they have to do is put it a small, tiny charge. Look what happened to Charlie Kirk. Some people say it was lapel mic. Yeah. That small of a charge.
I mean, let's be real. The Israelis were extremely ecstatic about the pager bombs they put on everybody. Mm-hmm.
Thousands of people.
I mean, that was something they bragged about. Mm-hmm. I mean, tiny little micro charges of C4 and pagers. They killed or maimed like 1,000 people. And they said they were all terrorists. Well, what about the guys that weren't terrorists that had children sitting next to them that got their heads blown off with a doggone pager bomb?
Well, you know,
Benjamin
Netanyahu, now Trump has another peace deal with Gaza, trying to work it out. And Benjamin Netanyahu has firmly rejected any peace deal with Gaza through Trump. Well, why? Because it's Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein's files have Donald Trump, and this is something that Elon Musk said, so let's not pretend like he didn't say it. He's listed in the doggone thing. He's listed in the files. That's one of the reasons he now has his personal attorney, his attorney general, that is not going to let anything be released. Pam Bondi, Congress voted for full release, right? She was trying to do what she's supposed to do with as much covering up as she could do, and she got fired. And she was spoken to in the limousine to make sure there were no trackers or recorders with Trump when she was terminated in the presidential limo. So the whole thing about this is when you stop and you think about it, you realize that this whole thing is being orchestrated through the group that wants to bring in the Antichrist in a third temple and declare himself God and become the ruler of this planet. So always remember that. So keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. And I got an interesting story.
Yeah.
The Danube River is like at an all-time low, and they have found a Nazi motorcycle in the bottom of it.
That's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like motorcycles.
Old relic.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty rusted up. It's there. They've been finding all kinds of boats and ships and shipwrecks and everything else in the Danube River. That's a huge source of commerce and trade, by the way, in Europe still to this day with barges. So they're saying they're having a hard time now getting stuff transported on the Danube River, which is a major, major mess for them. Because think about it for a second. You know, all these dams that are drying up, all these rivers and all these hydroelectric plants that are no longer able to produce the electricity they're supposed to. They're doing this on purpose to us. We had the hottest July in the history of the United States last month. I will attest to that. My back porch flooded. I mean, we had a river of water running through my personal office. I mean, it was inch deep. Running like a Niagara running through my office. I mean, we had to come in there with the shop vacs and vacuum it up. I've got some damage to the furniture. And I'm like, this isn't a hurricane. It's a thunderstorm. How the heck did this happen?
Yeah.
Normally with hurricanes, we sandbag everything. So now we sandbag the back porch. It looks awful, to be honest with you. We've sandbagged the back porch to prevent that from happening again. And sure enough, last week, another one hit. And we had 6 inches of water standing on the sandbags. And it was running out the door. And I thought, well, if I hadn't dammed it up, it would go back in my office again. That has never happened before. The geoengineering that they've done, according to Dane Whittington, and I believe he's right on this, is releasing huge pockets of methane all over the Antarctic. And that methane gas is a tremendous greenhouse gas. It's a lot more powerful than regular CO2 for heating the atmosphere and creating global warming. So here's the question. I'm going to say something kind of odd that you guys are going to like. Some of you are going to wonder why. Some of you are going to scratch your heads. You know, reptiles like it when it's warm.
Oh, gosh. We're not going there today.
Do you remember that one movie with Charlie Sheen? Do you remember what's the name of that one?
Arrival.
No, it wasn't Arrival. It was the one that he figured out they were using this geoengineering and basically creating and heating up the atmosphere. And and all of a sudden they were taking over the planet because they wanted it warmer. And you think to yourself, well, snakes kind of get sluggish when it gets cold. that's right. Lucifer showed up as a snake, didn't he? Yeah, he did. And, remember, they sinned against the reptiles, too.
Yeah.
And the reptiles like it nice and toasty. They get, you see alligators, when it's cold, they just lay there. They don't even want to move. It takes too much energy to move. And they can sit there for months dormant. And, and reptiles like it hot. You think, well, are you saying that the reptiles are running the planet? I didn't say that. I never said that. Now, David Icke says the reptilian aliens are running the planet, but I didn't say that. I'm telling you the fallen angels are running the planet, along with Lucifer. Because it says the God of this age, had he known what he was doing, he never would have crucified the Son of Glory. It says that in the Word, and I'm paraphrasing it. So remember this. There's a reason they're heating it up like they are. There's a reason they're allowing this methane gas to release. There's a reason they're trying to make it warmer and warmer, and it's causing these extremes in temperature. Now, the guy who wrote the Creature from Jekyll Island, which he may have sometime implied it was a fallen angel, who knows. But what he did say was this, of course, it was about the Federal Reserve Bank. Of course, he said that they're using it for food production and for to control the masses of the planet through starvation. That's why they're controlling the weather.
Well, speaking of snakes, though, too, that's why they're trying to do everything they can with surveillance as far as these cameras. I've had more and more people.
Oh, Grady Judd was basically, he came on blind the other day and said he saw 4 flock cameras.
Oh, well, I'm about to get in. It's funny because, you know, I
love Grady Judd. He's a great guy. But remember, he's a sheriff. It makes his job easier.
Well, these things are turning into a nightmare. You know, about 4 or 5 months ago, I told you guys that a lot of these cameras, once they go up, tied into the AI, they're going to be used to basically data log everywhere you go, but it's going to get way more worse than that. They're going to start using them to basically, how should I say, manufacture content in order to justify whatever they decide to do to you, whether it's a warrant, whether it's track you, whether it's arrest you, whether it's question you, whether it's detain you, whatever it may be. This is where it's going with the camera footage. And I didn't want to be right about this, but man, did I call it out now. Venture capital firm Anderson Horowitz, which led a $275 billion.
Horowitz. That's a.
I got confused because I thought he said Rosenbaum at first, but it's Horowitz.
It sure wasn't Rosenberg. It's Horowitz.
Horowitz, yeah.
Yeah. I hope you're getting the reference to little hats. What's
so
the story?
I'm pulling up. So the $275 million funding that he brought to bring Flock basically to market in 2025 that exploded it. He's also a massive investor in Toca. And you guys go, what the heck is Toca? I'm glad you asked. Toca is an Israeli cyber intelligence firm that is tied in with Flock now.
No, it's not.
That builds tools, and I quote.
You're talking little hat?
Capabilities enabling clients to infiltrate connected camera networks and alter footage without leaving any forensic traces.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You're talking about changing forensic footage?
I'm talking about modifying content, security, footage without any footprint of it happening. Flock's lead investor backs a company that now alters main security footage, and they brag about it.
Alters main security footage. So they
with no footprint.
They could put you into the camera and you're not even there, or they take you out of the camera and you're never there.
Or they have your vehicle with your license plate on it going a certain location. All they need for a warrant now. We're questioning about a murder or a robbery or whatever they want to set up. Suddenly you go, I wasn't there. Where's your car? Here's your tag. Here's you parked here. You're in the location.
Can't you get window tint on the front of the car if you've got problems with your eyes?
Just about to go to that. State of Florida, you have the ability to tint all of your windows as dark as you want if you have a prescription for pretty much just about anything you need for your eyes. Look into it. I'm not giving you any legal or medical advice. Just go into that one.
It's kind of hard for a camera to see through tint.
Yeah, and I would never, and I don't condone this, obviously. I would never condone this, but there's been a lot of topics about people even getting the clear reflective Rust-Oleum and spraying it on their tags. Now, I would never recommend doing that, but apparently the Flock cameras can't read it once you put that stuff on your tags. It reflects back.
Clear reflective Rust-Oleum? How do they make such a product?
I have no idea. I've just been reading about it. Apparently they've sold it like every single store. It's a Rust-Oleum spray that's basically a clear coat that's reflective. Again, I don't know anything about that, but I would never recommend doing that on a tag. Just saying. So imagine here. It says, imagine a company that sells Flock cameras to police departments across this country describes itself as the first public safety operation system that eliminates crime, and somebody actually really believes it. They said they go into detail here how now the lead investor behind Flock funds a company that hacks security cameras and changes their footage that's based out of Israel. Enter Tonka. Where it gets real uncomfortable. The Israeli cyber firm reportedly sells the tools to hack any camera, erase evidence, modify evidence. And they said they basically have government client locate network cameras in a target area, hack them, watch live feeds, alter or erase both live and recorded footage without leaving a forensic trace. Unlike NSO's Pegasus, which typically leaves detectable digital fingerprints, Toca reportedly doesn't. Human rights attorney, quoted by Truthout, said this expansion is deeply alarming, stressing that this tech lets clients alter camera feeds and recordings, undermine transparency. This parallels the emergence of a covert surveillance op built by U.S. operatives to target political dissidents. And what's crazy, too, about this, just follow me here, did we just sign this insanely compromising, treasonous bill that now allows Israel to have full interconnections with all of our development systems with the U.S. military? And, by the way, guys, that also means NSA. That also means DHS. That ties in with everybody now. Kind of crazy how all that stuff just tied in all at once in the last year. You do that information as you want. I've told you guys multiple times my stance on it. And again, told you guys, obey all laws. I would never tell you guys to do anything illicit. But this is creepy.
Years ago, I had lunch with Benjamin Netanyahu. There were about 10 of us. And it was at one of the seminars I was speaking at that he was also speaking at. He was so personable and so nice that he was slimy. And you think, what does that even mean? That means you knew down in your spirit there was something wrong with him. Okay, something wasn't right. Now, he was at that point, he wasn't prime minister of Israel. They'd cut him loose. But, you know, I also met with Henry Kissinger. Knew him too. And he was visibly slimy. He was like, you want to jump in a shower with lye soap and scrub down after you were around him. It was disgusting. But Benjamin Netanyahu told us, from his mouth to my ears, he said that Israel had backdoors into all basically computer systems globally. And I thought to myself, this guy's running his mouth. It was 30 years ago. And you know what? He wasn't lying. And, you know, the crazy part about it is you stop and you listen to it and you say, wow, you know, if you listen real closely, it's like that movie, what's that one movie with Kevin Costner?
Open Range.
Open Range. Yeah. And he says, if you listen to somebody real, real careful, like, they'll tell you what their intentions are. They'll tell you what their intentions are. I had a friend of mine who had a kid who was in college, and the kid had gotten mad at a girlfriend and had hacked into her computer system. That kid should have never done this, right? And his father was in there talking to the head guy at the school and said, you know, I'm sorry, you know, the guy goes, well, your son needs to confess to this. And, you know, we're not going to call the police. You know, we're going to let this go. And my friend told the guy, says, we're not talking to you about anything else. You're making accusations here. You have no evidence of this. And he goes, you know, before my son says a word or I say another word about any of the stuff that you're saying happened, that we say did not happen, we're getting an attorney involved. Now, if you listen real closely to what the guy said, we are not going to call the police because your son did this. What did he just say?
Call the police.
We're calling the police. Okay? And we're going to have your son expelled. I mean, he's going to be kicked out of school. You think, well, they wouldn't do that. Really?
And here's the problem now. Now they could just turn around and you have some type of mild confession. Now they can turn around and modify anything they want and fabricate evidence to do anything to corroborate their story against you, even though if it's a total lie.
And my that father said to him, he said, well, he said, we have a computer, you know, IPL address that, you know, that it was on your son's computer. And he goes, the father said, do you have a video chat of him doing this? A video? Because quite frankly, if the timestamp doesn't match the video, somebody else could have hacked into the computer. You have no proof this guy did this. And it was interesting. The accusations were stopped. The crazy part about it is now with this type of technology, and this is with my segue, they can change that. Yes, we have a video timestamp of him doing this with his computer, with his, you know, his address.
See, here's the thing about this is, and this ties into exactly why they're doing this flock camera. It's very difficult to fabricate complete footage out of nothing without using heavy AI systems. Meaning, if there's no footage of your car ever driving, it's hard to have your vehicle with you in the car looking through the glass with your tag and every single part of your car accurate for AI. AI can't really do that. They can produce something, but it's going to be extremely vivid that it's AI once you do some detailed work. What they have the ability to do now is they have the content that they're procuring. Every time you drive by, where you park, where you go, everything you do in these certain areas, and it starts procuring content. That content then can be slightly modified than the way they need it to go without ever showing any type of evidence that it has. Because even AI, as good as it is, they can't just manufacture full content. It's going to get flagged. And this is what they says here. It says, demonstrated by Black Hat. Not joking. That's the name of this group.
Is it a little black hat?
Oh, yeah. Black hat. Forensic researchers intercepted real camera feeds, pushed pre-recorded video to network video recorders through basically Toka. Genuine footage was swapped for fake and visibly according, essentially, content that they modified. Body cams. Oh, here we go. Body cam systems. Per POM reporting, allowed footage download, editing, and re-upload with zero indication. Back in, they said, we can't even tell it's been modified.
That makes the person basically get on a body cam footage with a police officer who doesn't know any better and basically use an AI to have him say anything they want him to say. Yep. I had another friend of mine yesterday. She called me up, and she's dating down in Oregon, great lady. And she goes, I spoke to an AI. I said, yeah, I spoke to one of those two one time. And she goes, it was unbelievable. They're asking me all these personal questions. And here's one of the questions it asked her, the computer program. It said, I have two homes. I have one in California. I have another one in this other location. She goes, do you own a home? Now, you understand something. That AI is gathering information, and they're setting up a profile
it's
on
data
her.
Building.
And now she owns a home. Well, you know, she's in her 60s, so therefore the home's probably paid for it. And when the next question is going to come out, if she talks to it again, well, what is your mortgage on your house?
Yep.
Oh, I don't have a mortgage. I had it paid for because my husband's life insurance. I told her, if the AI asks you questions like that, just say, oh, when my husband died, he left me in a mess. I mean, he had no insurance. I've had to liquidate everything. Everything I own is financed. I'm completely broke. I can't pay the bills. And then she can ask him, can you help me with my payments this month? I mean, I have no money left. There's nothing in my accounts. I'm completely busted. I don't have a car. I do Uber. I mean, I'm about to have to move into a doggone hotel. You know, what can you do for me? So play with the AI, but realize that they're not just playing games with you here with this stuff. Billions, hundreds of billions of dollars are stolen every year from people who don't know any better on dating sites. It's almost all a scam. 90% is a scam. All of it. And if they won't video chat with you, now they're finding out you video chat with me, video chat with an AI. I had that happen one time. And first thing they started doing is ask me personal information. I immediately blocked and deleted. Be very, very careful. Never, number one, get a burner phone. You say, you shouldn't recommend people get a burner phone. Why do you want to give them your personal information on your personal cell phone? A lot of stuff on there. Go to, you know, one of the box stores, buy a phone. Don't give them any information. Give them $50, get a month's service. Now you got a burner phone. It's not linked to anybody. So if they do a background check on it and try to figure out who the burner phone belongs to, it belongs to the ether. It belongs to nothing. There's no information on it. Never use your real cell phone number when you're contacting somebody, ever. Or you can use things like WhatsApp or Telegram or whatever, which are safer but not completely safe. And be careful, careful, careful when you give out personal information.
Well, it's crazy now, too, because there's been video after video now that are popping up. There's a doggone gun range in Ocala that now there's a flock camera going in and a flock camera going out.
The guys aren't going to like that.
Oh, they did a few things. The big attorney went out there and he said, what the heck is this? And the law enforcement said, well, we had some people's got their vehicles broken into a few months ago. Really? Come on. Now you're going to start putting flock cameras at gun ranges out in Ocala where there's nothing out there, by the way.
Remember the first Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise?
Uh-huh.
And they had that one guy that was the marksman.
Yep.
And he had that camera hidden in the wall. He goes, the guys who come here, if they find I got this camera, they're not going to be happy about this. The people who are out there using the gun range and using gun ranges, they don't like a lot of the stuff that's happening nowadays. They're definitely not big promoters of harpies. Yeah, I said that. They don't care for harpies at all, and they sure don't want to be monitored like that. But wow, Austin, they come in now and change the footage to an Israeli firm. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh. So that's why I wanted to bring this up, so you guys can handle it as you wish in your own areas. But there's a reason why these cameras are exploding everywhere.
Oh, and by the way, be really careful with guns, and be very careful with neighbors. There are neighbors out there that are so crazy, it's unbelievable. Brothers ages 11 and 20 are fatally gunned down by a ticking time bomb neighbor from hell, police say.
Say 11?
11 and 20. Shot him dead.
11
and
years old.
And he shot two more of them. Now, I'm not taking and I'm not defending and I'm not even getting involved in what happened here, but I'm going to speculate a few things here. The problem is some people are really unbalanced. They've been on drugs their whole life. They've been on psychiatric drugs their whole life. Their brain's not working right. That's number one. Secondly, a lot of people could have had a fall or a concussion and be suffering from mental disorder, like bipolar disorder.
TBI.
I mean, a lot, especially veterans. And I'm not picking on veterans because they're not all like that either.
It happens to a lot of people. It
happens to a lot of people.
Ball players, football all players, that stuff. Okay? Yeah, motocross
guys. That's why the NFL now has the helmet restriction. If you do spearing, you use head-to-head contact, you're out. And it should be that way because you're going to have a permanent brain injury in some cases that you're never going to be right. And by the age of 40, you're going to develop bipolar disease.
And the problem with TBI that nobody wants to address and with veterans and athletes alike on it is a lot of times it's never diagnosed in the beginning because it progresses and it gets worse. And then when you finally start realizing what's going on, it's a lot of times it's too late.
I had a friend of mine who lived on an easement, right? A real nice area, nice homes. And they started having arguments with the neighbors about the easement. Okay. Yeah. And a cop came out there one day and told my friend, he said, look, he said, here's the deal. If you guys didn't have something to lose here, you guys ought to be killing each other. He said, we see it all the time. People shoot each other over easements because neighbors go crazy. You know, I've seen a neighbor one time fall in the mud, kicking and screaming until she passed out. Another harpy. And you think, what is wrong with these people? I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out here that are mentally unstable. And you can't push, you can't trigger them. Here's a guy, shot an 11-year-old and a 20-year-old. Now, you say, well, they didn't do anything wrong. You don't know what the neighbors did to this guy. You don't know what this guy did to the neighbors. And it starts, they start bickering with each other. They start picking with each other. I had one neighbor that I knew one time with a friend of mine. He sprayed a giant eat me sign in the guy's yard.
With Roundup.
With Roundup, with 10-foot block letters. You say, you're joking. Am I joking?
No, you're not joking. It said,
eat me. And you're like, that's just great. So the guy had to come and resod the entire area that said, eat me. And you think, well, you can't, people don't do stuff like that.
Oh, they do.
I've seen it. Come after the neighbor with a pitchfork. You're like, no, they wouldn't. I've seen that too. All of these, you saw the pitchfork one too.
Well, and the thing about it is, especially down here,
people are unstable.
I'm 100% Second Amendment. That also entails those that you also have to use discretion with certain situations to try not to de-escalate, not escalate them. Deadly force is permanent. Repeat
that's
that.
Right.
Deadly force is permanent. Once you draw and use your firearm in a defensive manner,
your life's going to change.
It is permanent. It is going to change for the rest of your life. No matter what happens, I mean, it's going to change. And so you can't be running around acting a fool, especially in cars. We got a real problem down here with road rage in Florida.
Oh, bad.
It's a problem. I mean, law enforcement is. I've seen it. I've watched it happen from the dash cams all the time in Florida. Be very cautious. A lot of times on the road, I'm to the point now, if somebody starts acting a fool, I'm like, I'm just getting out of the way. They can just go act a fool on their own.
Look at Travon Martin and Zimmerman.
Yep.
If you believe that whole account. I mean, the guy's trying to defend his neighborhood, gets put on the ground, starts getting beaten by a martial arts expert who's 6 foot tall, beating him, killing him, pulls a gun out, trying to stop him from killing, and he ends up going to jail and charged with murder.
The problem with that situation, because we were down here in the middle of it in Sanford, is that the media intentionally hot stoked that entire situation. There's nothing about that that would have gone national if the media had not pushed it every single day and started using his 12-year-old Ola Mills photos. And again, my condolences to everybody involved in that situation because it was horrific down here. It really was. It had a lot of tension for a while. But the media was the number one culprit of making so much tension and hatred and animosity between certain groups down here in Florida.
Well, same thing happened with that Pulse Gay Club over in Orlando.
Yes.
Yeah, all these lies came out of the media. So Austin and I went to the gay club. Now,
you've got to clarify that when you say
after this, we want to do an investigation. We didn't go in the gay club.
After the shooting, we went and visited the scene where law enforcement was currently stationed.
Oh, and they told us there were bullet holes all over the outside in the stucco. Nothing.
Well, it was the strangest thing is that there was no – the stories were different from all the law enforcement we talked to. Mm-hmm. It was different.
And so we talked to one cop who was in a Dodge Ram. Remember that?
Yep.
He had a motor running, diesel. And he said – and he's by himself, and he goes, everything you've heard.
Yeah.
Is a lie. Nothing's true that you've heard on the media. Nothing.
He said, and then the problem is, he goes, everybody's under gag order here.
Yeah.
He said, we're disclosing things. He goes, but he basically, what he said, it was nothing you've seen here, what you hear here, is true. Don't believe anything you're hearing. He goes, I'm in a gag order. I can't discuss anything. But it is not what you think it was in this situation.
So then we went over two more cops sitting there by an ice chest, and there was a forensic team inside, and we started talking to them, and they wouldn't say anything because they were together. They could testify against each other. And, you know, they told us there were bullet holes all over the buildings. They said to the media, nothing. Nothing. And if somebody had been in a firefight with a bunch of gun discharges, and there was a PVC fence in front, remember? Yeah. There had been holes all over it. It was nothing.
Well, that was the story kept changing.
Yeah.
And I do think there was actually something that occurred inside, and I think people were injured and killed. There was definitely a situation of that. But nothing of which they talked to it about was anything that they essentially was described. Now, that's another story that I want to cover here. And this is another thing where it's positive, it's really good, but on the other hand, too, the obfuscation is getting really weird because you can tell there's a lot of pushback right now with this whole thing with Iran, with Lebanon, everything it's getting stupider to the point nobody believes and nobody wants to deal with this stuff. And everybody's like, okay, how many times are you going to tell us the Strait of Hormuz is open? I think the one guy used Grok the other day. I think that's like 13 times now. 13 days, declared days, the Strait's open. How many times has Trump said we've won the conflict? Like 18
lies,
times.
Lies, and
it's all lies. So now Trump goes out and he signs an executive order aimed at reducing the number of childhood vaccines. Now, this is fantastic. Like, this is great. However, it's kind of strange now because this is going directly towards the pharmaceutical industries, which I think this is going to be a hit that they're going to take in order to try to get people to calm down about what's been going on with the shot schedule. I've talked about it before. I don't bring up fake news. I don't spread lies. I bring up factual truths, and I've said this before from backing in science and research and the stuff that I did in my undergraduate program. There is no clinical trials that ever show safety testing with the 6, 7, 8 different shots that they give children and the recommended CDC shot schedule, whether it's 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. I've showed you the list from the CDC. There is no clinical trial. There's no research studies. There's nothing where a child gets all of those shots in one setting and they do a true double-blind placebo-controlled study on them and see what happens to the kids. Never. Will not ever happen with all those shots in conjunction. The second problem that everybody's questioning is there is not a single point in recorded medical history where a child has been exposed to that many different types of pathogens at one time. Doesn't happen. There's no place where a child is going to get direct hard exposure to measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, COVID, chickenpox, hepatitis, all at one time. Hasn't happened, will not ever happen. It's theoretically impossible to possibly happen. So why do you have that as an injection series in a child at that age when the developmental immune system does not truly function or is even possible to handle that influx of pathogens at 18 months, 2 years old? Body can't handle it. So these are questions that are really truthful. There's no answer to them because they will not answer them. And now people are wondering it. And so here the shot, it says, Donald Trump today signed an executive order calling for sweeping changes to U.S. vaccine policy, including reducing the number of diseases for which kids receive routine childhood vaccines from 18 to 11. The executive order first revealed earlier today in advance of Trump's announcement recommends splitting the measles, mumps, rubella shot into 3 shots separately. That is something that should have been done years ago. That tri-shot was already shown from the CDC when they did the burn bags, if you remember this, with the direct link to autism and young black boys.
With black boys, that's right.
Yeah, they already did this. All these shots, the reason why they do this is so you can't get them individually, so you can't show what type of toxicity effects are happening with each shot. Just try to get a tetanus shot now. Every time you talk to everybody, they're like, oh, I need to get, you know, I want to give my child a tetanus shot. Good luck finding one. It's always diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis now. It's almost possible to find a single ampule, single-use tetanus vaccine. It doesn't exist anymore. But they tell you tetanus is the most dangerous thing possible. So if they tell you that, why don't they offer a shot for people that just want to get a single tetanus shot? I think there's one company you can order it from and manufacture it, but it's a nightmare to try to get a hold of. It says the executive order now recognizes the standard childhood vaccine schedule for only 11 core vaccines against the most serious and dangerous shots, along with the MMR, which needs to be split up. The executive order also ends administration of the birth dose of hepatitis B vaccine. That is a big one that should have been gone a long time ago. Children can't even produce any aspect of an antibody to
birth
block hepatitis B, period, with a shot. They've already shown that the shot does not matter. It does not reduce it. There's been all this context they put out before. Oh, it reduces the rate of it. No, it doesn't at all. Do your own research on it. I'm not going to put any more on
the only reason they do hepatitis shot for newborns is they assume that the mother is
correct.
Listen to me. This is the fact. They assume the mother has hepatitis and that she's a drug-using prostitute.
That's exactly right.
A drug-using IV prostitute using injections and that she's infected herself with hepatitis.
Even the mom will be Hep B negative. And they will still give the baby the Hep B shot at birth.
Well, because they assume everybody's a whore.
Right.
You know, see.
Well, you've gotten hepatitis since your last blood work last week.
Well, now I hate to say it, but okay, I'm going to go somewhere I shouldn't go. You know, these harpies, okay? Yeah, I mean, we're going to call them harpies. So, and I know 99.9999% of you guys who are listening to the show aren't harpies. I got that. Probably is not one harpy here. If there was a harpy listening to this show right now, they'd be going. They'd be doing some type of seance to try to, you know, call up Lucifer. I mean, this is a nightmare with these people. These harpies believe that their body count, as far as how many people they've had sex with, is super important to them. You think, well, what do you mean? You heard me. I'm not saying it twice. And because they feel as though that they have a right, being gynocentric, they can do whatever they want to do with their bodies, including abort children up to 9 months when they're alive crying. So these people are perverted sickos. In fact, it was so funny to me. Riley just sent me this, and I laugh about it. He goes, these harpies, these women, will literally spend decades tearing down the patriarchy that existed to protect and provide for them, and then complain about how they don't feel safe anymore.
That is ironic when you actually think. If you just listen to what he just said, the irony is so thick, you got to cut
it. I'm going to read it again, just in case you don't think I read this. It says, women, these harpies, these nightmare from hell Jezebels is what they are, will literally spend decades tearing down the patriarchy. That means men that have supported them, built infrastructure around them, built cars, built homes, built houses, had police departments, all the rest trying to protect them. They will destroy the patriarchy that existed to protect them and provide for them, and then complain about how they don't feel safe anymore. That's unreal. And the sad part about all of this stuff is when you stop and you look at it, you go, well, that ain't true. Then you're listening to the wrong podcast. It's the fact.
You've got your head in the mud.
No, you're not listening. You're not paying attention to what's happening here. They're aborting babies up to 9 months at birth in the birth canal again, partial birth abortion in Massachusetts. So if you think that's okay, you need to move to Massachusetts. You know, and you need to get that governor out. But see, the problem is that this is a problem that happens in these liberal states. That's why when the South succeeded, now remember, my parents weren't here. My grandparents were in Germany, great grandparents. They were running around over there with the Kaiser, right? I don't have any skin in this game. I don't have any skin in any of this game. My dad's parents immigrated from Germany. My mom came from Germany. So we don't have a Civil War deal here going on with me in this country. I got it. You got to get that with me. I'm just saying that when the South succeeded from the North, it was because the South was different. They were been and have been literally two separate countries. And they have been, period. The Southern states and the Northern states just didn't get along. And if you don't believe that, go down to Miami. That's where the Northerners, especially the people out of New York, came down here with a bunch of little hats. And they're basically running Miami, and they're unbelievably liberal. And, that's right. That was Sheriff Israel, wasn't it, in Palm Beach?
That was his name, yeah.
That was his name, was Sheriff Israel. You can't even make this stuff up.
With the shooting.
And then somebody from Shabbat calls in, we see the guy walking by Walmart. The shooting. We're not even going to go there today. The problem is this. When the liberals try to communicate and be along the side, the conservatives, if they're okay as long as they don't talk about anything. If one of them's sitting at a table and the other one's sitting at a table, they're okay. I remember one time Austin and I are sitting on an airplane. And we're going up to Charlotte. Or no, we're going from Charlotte to St. Louis. I can't remember. And there was this liberal lady behind us. And she had a beautiful voice. I'll never forget that. She was pretty. And she's just going off. And this starts going off about, you know, military and this and that and this and that. It's just unbelievably liberal. And she's talking super loud. We're in business class. We got upgraded. It was great. And finally, I turned around after about 20 minutes of this, and I said, you know, ma'am, I said, I can hear everything you're saying. Where are your guns? She yells at us. Where's your AK-47?
Verbatim. On a plane.
On a plane. Now, you think about that for a second. Austin and I are like, crap, we're about to get on the no-fly list.
It was like, that was probably one of the most bizarre incidents I've ever experienced on a plane, because what she was trying to do was rage bait us in the basically trying to get us kicked off the plane with the U.S. Air Marshal. Because she starts asking us that question really loud out of nowhere. She goes, where's your AK-47? Did you bring your AK-47? Do you have one with you? Where's it out on the plane right now? You have an AK-47? She's like, four times. And I've looked at that, and I'm like, I'm not trying to get arrested today, nor any day.
And by the way, we did not have any guns
at all. No firearms at all. We had a business trip. Had to run up north for 2 days.
And we had no check-in luggage at all.
No.
And so but this lady
She was trying. Because what happens is everybody suddenly. The role inside the mitochondria, the new ubiquinol study. These participants took 300 milligrams of ubiquinol daily or placebo for 6 weeks. Neither the participants nor the researchers conducted the testing knew who received the ubiquinol. That's why it's double blind. They reduced the risk that expectations influenced the results. Before and after the supplementation, the researchers examined mitochondria, respiration, and skeletal muscle samples. As expected, ubiquinol supplementation substantially increased CoQ10 levels. More personally, it reduced the inverse respiratory control ratio, which is a laboratory measurement used to estimate how much mitochondrial respiration is lost to energy leakage rather than being coupled to ATP production. So what it did was it massively increased overall endurance, gave the mitochondria like a boost, like put a turbo on them, and kept the body functioning and running better, and respiratory function also went up. That was just one study they just did on this.
I take it every day, and I love it. By the way, there's a verse, 1 John 2:15-17. It was in the movie Fury, and I love this verse. I want to read this to you again. And it's not that we're not supposed to have nice stuff or a nice car or a nice house or anything like that, but that stuff's not supposed to have you. You're not supposed to have it as an idol. You know, look at what you have in your priority list. Give you your top 10 list. Number one should be God. Number two should be your spouse, period. Done. Number three, the kids. Number four, basically, is your podcast or your business. And it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. As the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Remember, God loves you so much. He owns the universe. He owns everything. He doesn't mind you living and having a great life. He doesn't care about that. But he doesn't want you making everything an idol, making everything, you know, about you and about whatever. Try to serve one another, love one another, support one another. Learn to be a giver. I love you guys. Thanks for your support. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Sauce, what's your final statement?
You know where to get a hold of us, guys. You need to. CoQ10's on sale. Those are bothering me. I've been champion fix a minute ago. Have a blessed night, my friend. CoQ10, check it out. Healthmasters.com. You need anything, call us, emails. We're here for you. Have a blessed night. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys.